Here's our question, and it comes from the current events happening here in the United States concerning an issue for Roman Catholics in Arizona. You can search for the issue yourself, but I will cite the Catholic News Agency website in this video as they speak about an in-house issue for Catholics. The question is this: how can Roman Catholics declare a baptism invalid because of one word? Yes, that's the issue. One word has rendered, according to the Catholic News Agency site, 2 decades of baptisms as invalid because a priest used the word we instead of I in the baptismal liturgy. To quote a bishop in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'll leave the name of the priest out of this, but it is in the news stories, quote, "It is with sincere pastoral concern that I inform the faithful that baptisms performed by Reverend, name, a priest of the Diocese of Phoenix, are invalid," end quote. Okay, you might say it's not that big of a deal, but it is in Roman Catholicism. Why? Well, for the immediate context, per the Catholic News Agency, 2 current issues would be that a Catholic could not participate in communion having had an invalid baptism, and the Diocese of Phoenix is unclear whether marriages might be invalidated due to the invalid baptisms. Beyond that, though, Roman Catholic doctrine states that baptism is how justifying grace is infused into the one being baptized, and at the moment of baptism, the person is considered to be justified, not just declared to be just, but to actually be just. But their first willful volitional sin removes the justifying grace, and the person must now follow Catholicism's steps in regaining their justification through the sacraments. And that is repeated and repeated throughout the life of the Roman Catholic. A Roman Catholic, sadly, can never be sure that they are truly eternally saved because of this. The current Catechism of the Catholic Church, dated 1994, says this in paragraph 1227. Through the Holy Spirit, baptism is a bath that purifies, justifies, and sanctifies. Earlier, paragraph 1213 of the Catechism says, quote, "Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ, are incorporated into the Church, and made sharers in her mission." We believe in baptism here, I'll be honest. After all, we're Baptists. The Bible, though, says a person is to believe first. They believe, not someone else believing on their behalf or the church collectively on their behalf. The person, the individual, believes and then is baptized as a sign of their identification with Christ, being buried with him in baptism as a public display of having been born again, having believed. But believing and the new birth come before baptism. Let's be clear right here. I love Roman Catholics. I am not a Roman Catholic. I do not hate Roman Catholics. We do not hate Catholics here at I'll Be Honest. What we do hate is that which damns people. We do not want to see people go to hell. We want people to embrace the salvation freely offered to us by faith in Jesus Christ, apart from any of our works or the works of others. And we want that for Roman Catholics, for Muslims, for Jews, for atheists. We want all who labor and are heavy laden to come to Christ and find their eternal rest in him through faith and faith alone. If you are a Roman Catholic listening to this, hear me out. Please, please listen to the entirety of what I'm going to say, because I say it with the utmost love and care for your soul. It's in light of what I just said that I have to say what I say next. It's not just that the baptisms performed by this particular priest who got one word wrong in the liturgy that are invalid. All Roman Catholic baptisms are invalid. All of them. The teaching of Scripture from Genesis forward is that man is justified, declared to be not guilty, and at the same time declared to be righteous, with all of his or her sins forgiven. Man is justified by faith and by faith alone. We have other videos and articles on our website that address the errors of Roman Catholicism and others when it comes to justification by baptism, and they're in the description below. But what I want to do in the next few minutes is just talk about what Scripture says about justification by faith in Christ apart from works. There are 2 sections in our Bibles that give us extended teaching on the doctrine of justification, and those are in Romans and Galatians. However, what the Holy Spirit breathed out through the Apostle Paul in those letters to those 2 churches was not new teaching. In both letters, God the Holy Spirit tells us that justification has always been by faith and uses the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, to prove the point. So I appeal to you, especially if you are a Roman Catholic, read Romans, read Galatians, and yes, you as a layperson, read your Bible. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 talks about Bereans, laypeople, who were commended for having compared what Paul was telling them against Holy Scripture, against the Hebrew Scriptures that they had. They're commended for it. They're called noble because of their reading Scripture. So I appeal to you, Roman Catholic, take your New American Bible, which is approved by Roman Catholic leadership, and just read Romans, read Galatians. Take them at face value. They mean what they say. They are the most in-depth teaching on justification in the Scriptures, so they have to mean something. Think about this. Jesus baptized nobody. John 4, verse 2 says that. Jesus told people to come to him, to follow him, to believe in him, and he pronounced that faith saved people, and no baptism was involved in them becoming saved. A woman of the city, a sinner, Luke 7:37, says this about her. She anointed the feet of Jesus with ointment and kissed his feet and washed his feet with her hair. Works, right? Jesus pronounced her saved. Works, right? No, faith. Jesus' words in Luke 7, verse 50, talking about this woman. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The sacraments can't save you. Your penance can't save you, and your confession to the priest won't save you. Your baptism will not save you. Think about that situation in Phoenix. One word imposed by man, misspoken, has removed people from the kingdom of God. Think about what kind of salvation they had then. One word can make it all be a sham. One word. But salvation, my Roman Catholic friend, my Muslim friend, my atheistic friend, is not dependent upon a word another sinner speaks. It's all about the beauty and wonder and trust and faith in the work of Jesus Christ, who provides rest for the weary soul by just trusting him to save you. You don't have to work, and you don't have to toil. You don't have to do anything but realize that you can't save yourself by your works. And no other man can save you by his works. You're there all by yourself right now before the living God, and it's all between you and him. And this God wants you to do this. Trust his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did what you can never do, and he did what I can never do. He came for sinners like us, no matter what we've done. Trust his work and trust that he paid the penalty for your sin on that cross 2,000 years ago. Just turn away from where you are right now and turn to Christ in faith, even though you don't understand everything. Just trust that Jesus Christ will give your soul rest that you will not regret. Trust Jesus Christ. Just believe. Leave your works and leave your self-righteousness behind. Don't worry about getting yourself all cleaned up first. Just come to Jesus Christ right now, wherever you are, however you are. We implore you to do that because we care about your eternal soul, even though we don't know you. We want you to be saved right now, and we want you to know that you are saved and have assurance that you are saved. The Roman Catholic theologian Robert Bellarmine wrote several hundred years ago that the greatest Protestant heresy is the assurance of salvation. My Roman Catholic friend, the assurance of salvation is something your Bible wants you to have, and I quote from 1 John 5, verse 13, as it appears on the Vatican.va site from the New American Bible, the Roman Catholic Bible. The Holy Spirit breathed these words out through the Apostle John, quote, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life, you who believe in the name of the Son of God, end quote of 1 John 5:13. Yes, and that's a statement in your Catholic Bible. You can know, yes, you can know right now. But what things does John write, breathed out by the Holy Spirit? He writes the first four chapters of 1 John and the first 12 verses of chapter 5. You can know you have eternal life. You don't have to worry about your salvation coming and going if your salvation isn't dependent upon your own performance, but is only dependent upon your faith in Christ's performance on your behalf. And that verse says you can know it, you who believe. not you who believe and confess, not you who believe and do this work or that. It's you who believe. Believe, my friend. Believe that Jesus Christ's work on your behalf is sufficient to save you. And all you have to do is really believe it and place your hope for your eternal soul in the God-man Jesus Christ. We pray here, and I'll be honest, that this situation in Arizona would cause people to examine what they are doing, because we want people to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want that priest and that bishop to see it also. We want them to see the futility of a works-based salvation that gives men grounds for boasting. Salvation is free for us. Christ paid what we could not. So please embrace it by faith today if you haven't already done so. Believe and then be baptized. And oh, angels, rejoice when a sinner is saved, and we do as well. Come to Christ and leave your works and the traditions of men behind today and find true pasture, true rest for your soul in the hands of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ.